Preach a sermon, preacher, but make it short and sweet. Our stomachs strike at 12 o'clock, a hungering for to eat. Preach a sermon, preacher, with words both smooth and fair. For philosophy and theory we are thirsting. For scripture we don't care. Preach a sermon, preacher, punctuate it with jokes. Fill it with your yarns and tales, and entertain us, folks. Preach a sermon, preacher, we care not what you say, as long as you leave us alone and fire the other way. Preach a sermon, preacher, but don't get too specific. As long as you will generalize, we think you are terrific. Preach a sermon, preacher, make it good and plain, but don't you dare get too close as to call sin by its name. Preach a sermon, preacher, preach it round or flat. We love to play at hide and seek and guessing where you're at. Preach a sermon, preacher, make it what we love to hear. We'll pat you on your spineless back while you scratch our itching ear. Written a long time ago, but it's applicable for today, isn't it? The denominational world has placed a lot of emphasis on their pastor. You want to get treated like a king, you become a pastor of some denomination. That's where it's at. The Lord's church has always placed emphasis upon the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, Paul said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And as we said the other night, it's not foolish preaching. There's too much of that going on in the world today, and yea, even in the church today. Now we, the Lord's church, are heading in the direction of our denominational friends, or I should say enemies. We are heading to the entertainment field, preachers who are better entertainers than they are preachers, giving less and less scripture and more yarns and jokes and tales. Just to back that up, a few years ago, my wife and I, Judy and I, went to Indianapolis for a meeting, and we stopped in a Steak and Shake. What a surprise that is for anybody that knows me. But we stopped there and happened to see some members of another congregation. And as soon as we hit the door, they said, "Oh, Brother Haefeli, you should have been here last week. We had such a great meeting." I said, "How's that?" He said, "That preacher had us laughing one minute and crying the next. Had just one story after another after another." Stories. Is that what we're to fill our sermons with? Shake your head this way. No, it is not. We are to fill them with God's Word. The Word of God. That is what saves us. In a small congregation near us, a young fella, young preacher in his mid-20s at the time, one night after the gospel meeting was over, after the preaching was through, he got up and made some closing announcements. He said, "Get your Bibles out." He said, "I want you to use it at least once before we go home." I thought, wow, that took a little brass, but really, it took a whole lot of love for God's Word. He said, "Oh, I had my pencil and paper out. I was going to take notes and write down the scriptures," which he said, "which I always do, and which is a good practice." He said, "After 20 minutes, I put it down because there were no scriptures given." How about that? You know what time it is when you have a preacher that doesn't give book, chapter, and verse for what he preaches? You know what time it is? It's time to get a new preacher, isn't it? "Sir, we don't want that anymore." We had a preacher coming to Payton City a few years ago, and that's what I'd heard about him. And I wrote him and I told him, "We want book, chapter, and verse. We want our sermons filled with scripture and not stories." He got the hint. His sermons had scripture in them. Had they not, he would not have lasted one night. Is that the way it ought to be? Boy, somebody would have been upset. Well, just too bad, because we were already upset. It's not, one of our other elders said, not on my watch. That's not going to happen here. Would it happen here, Stan? Would it happen here, elders? No, you need to be, no, sir. After that first lesson, we're going to have a little talk. We're going to have a little sit down. And if it doesn't improve, you gone. And if that's what you're famous for, then you're not coming here. Soft preaching will not get it. You know what we hear about the Bible? That the New Testament is a book of love letters. Yes, there is love there. I'm not disagreeing. But it is not all that. And love sometimes takes discipline, doesn't it? Strong, powerful, pounding preaching of the Word of God. And many churches are going to sleep because their preachers are allowing them to do so. What'd that last line in that poem say? His spineless back and their itching ears. And that's what it's all about. People want to hear sweet nothings. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Boy, did He bring a sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. The power, the dynamite of God, as we talked about the other night. And it will blow people out of denominationalism into the truth if we will give them the truth. Oh, we're too interested today in being politically correct and not hurting anybody's feelings. And it's working in the church too. Oh, Brother Hafley, I brought a visitor today and you drove him away. With what? What did we drive him away? Was it the truth? Well, yeah, he said with the truth. Well, did we say nasty or bitter or ugly things? Well, no, you didn't. But he just said, well, I'm not coming back. Well, do you want people like that? Do you want to back them into the church? You want to whitewash the truth? Somebody says, the more you do that, the blacker it gets. We've got to hold fast to that form of doctrine, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, about verse 8 through 15. And he calls names. Imagine that. Calling somebody's name. They obeyed, Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 17. They obeyed from the heart. Here's the Bible heart. They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered them, the preaching. That's why Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, to preach the word, to be urgent about it, to be instant about it. Get it done. And to preach the whole counsel, he said, as Paul did in Acts 20 and verse 27 to the Ephesian elders. Are we going to suffer persecution? Yes, we are. Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me ask you, how you doing? Paul didn't say some of you are going to suffer persecution, but all that live godly in Christ Jesus. Did he know that for a fact? Yeah, we've mentioned 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through nearly the rest of that chapter. Yes, he suffered persecution. And Jesus warned us right out of the starting blocks in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, I like those Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that mourn and so on. But then he gets down to verse 10. Blessed are ye when men persecute you and say all men, uh-oh, don't think I want to go there. That's where a lot of people are today. And they don't want to hear that kind of preaching. We want this Joel Osteen kind of preaching. Where nobody's feelings ever gets hurt and everybody's feeling really good. And I heard a gospel preacher say that a few years ago. He said, when you leave here tonight, he said, I want you all to be really feeling good about yourselves. Be careful. Be careful. What direction are we going? Paul in 1 Timothy 4 said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. They're going to depart from the faith. They're going to speak things which they ought not to speak, things that are not the truth, not the whole truth. And that's what we should want, to follow that pattern, that mold. My great aunt had a butter mold. And you know what that butter looked like every time she turned it over and dumped it out? That beautiful rose pattern. Every time. It never changed. And this never changes. When you study this book, what will you become? A Baptist? A Methodist? A Mormon? A Jehovah's Witness, can you read about them in here? No. Oh, we shouldn't mention their name. You know, that's what's going to bring the persecution. When we start shelling down the corn like we talked about Paul in Acts chapter 16 and 17 the other night, did he go preach on the home to the Jews when he went to Athens? Did he say, well, I know what they need, but I'll never win them by telling them what they need to hear? Have you heard the expression, you get more flies with honey than vinegar? You've heard that, haven't you? If we were in the fly catching business, that's what we would use. We wouldn't use vinegar. But that's not who we are after. We're after souls. And how valuable is a soul? Did the Lord know how valuable a soul was? Did He only speak to thousands? Did He only go where there were thousands of people in big auditoriums? No. Read the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and chapter 4. Two individuals there. Did they hear the truth? Sure they did. Did they need to hear what they heard? Will everybody receive the truth? Oh, we're afraid of getting rejected. Well, Jesus was rejected and He was the perfect teacher. And we need to let people hear what they need to hear. But again, we say we cannot teach what we do not know. When for the time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5 verse 12 says, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, we've got to take you back out of your class and let's go back down to kindergarten and learn what an A is and a B is, because you're not where you ought to be. Let me ask you, how are you doing? If your children came home in the fourth or fifth grade and they still didn't know what 2 + 2 was, would you think there's something wrong? If they didn't know what it was? How about us? How about you and your Bible knowledge? How about this congregation? How are you doing for Bible classes? I hope you are overwhelmed with them. I hope you have an endless number and said, oh, I want to teach this semester or trimester or however you've got it divided up. Is that the way it is? That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. We're not putting on the whole armor of God. And how long do you wait before you do that? I'll tell you what these Mormons and these Jehovah's Witnesses, they know their doctrine. Remember the church told me, he said, I had some of them come to my house the other day. He said, I sure showed them. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I slammed the door right in the face. Yeah, he sure showed them, didn't he? Oh, are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are we seeking first Matthew 6 and verse 33? Are we seeking it? Are we spending time late at night or early in the morning or sometime during the day seeking God's word? Well, it's just preacher's and elder's job. No, sir, it is not. What about a chain? It's only as strong as what? Where are you in that link, in those links? See, some people don't know anybody else in this congregation but you. How are you doing? Do I need to step and admit sometime that I'm not like the noble Bereans of Acts 17? I'm not like them. I'm not searching the scriptures daily. I don't even do it weekly, let alone monthly. Once in a while, Buck Owens sang a song about 30 years ago. Some of you might recall, older ones, young people. He said, there's dust on Mother's Bible. That is, Mother had died and now it hadn't been used and there's dust on it. Is there dust on your Bible? Do you have to run around the house saying, where is my Bible? Now, I've been there, done that. And the older I get, the more often I seem like I'm doing it, so I keep two or three handy. But we ought not lose our Bible. Do you, young people, do you take your class material to your classes when you're being taught? Not very often you don't. You will not do very well. The Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind. Again, as we say, we ought to be walking Bibles. People used to call Christians or go to where they live and find out. If they wanted to know an answer to a Bible question, they'd go to a member of the church. Could they come to your house? Because of the strong, sound preaching that we are getting, and we are indoctrinating our young people. A lot of classes, I think Connie Adams said 100 years ago, that they're nothing more than a pooling of ignorance. Who do we get to teach our Bible classes? Are our children learning anything or just filling in the blanks? Yeah, you got that right. Do they know the truth, the whole truth? Are they learning? Are they memorizing? Are they putting it into their hearts? Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer. To make an argument, that means, oh, we don't want to argue. Paul did. Jesus did. And when you argued with Jesus, you lost. When you argue with the Word of God, you're going to lose. And we're trying to get people not to lose eternally. Let them lose their denomination. Let them lose their faith in that false teaching and gain the truth and the knowledge of the Word of God. And we must be busy exposing the error. It was done in the Old Testament. It's done in the New Testament. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, to war a good warfare. I'm telling you, sissies don't go to... Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know about our army anymore, what they're accepting. But it takes a man to go to war and to fight the good fight of faith, doesn't it? Putting on the whole... You cannot be a coward. I want to tell you this, and I don't mean to be boasting, but we've written to some of the Baptist churches in our area. One church, in 15 years, they're working on their seventh preacher. And three of them we have heard have left because of us. Because of one fellow said, well, I've never heard so much about baptism in my life. I said, if you stay, you're going to hear more about it. Write to them. Many of them will not answer your simple questions. I understand this is what you believe, but here's what the Bible says. Can you respond to that? And if they do respond, they'll be calling you ugly names. Oh, we know you're Church of Christ and you believe that you got to get dunked to get saved, like we said the other night. They will not answer your questions. They will not even try. They're the ones on the run, not us. We have the might of the Word of God on our side. They are defenseless. And yet we act like we ought to be afraid. No. We have the atomic bomb in our hands. And we need to be using it. Paul told the Ephesian elders to take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. We need to all know the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, that men who are in darkness don't want to come to the light unless their deeds should be exposed. That's why they do what they do behind closed doors. As Paul did, so will you. As Jesus did, so will you. You will make converts, but you will also make enemies. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, but there were false prophets among the people back then, even as they are, will be among you, he said. They are going to be there, false teachers. They're everywhere. We have to be on guard. And 1 John 4, verse 1 said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That's what the noble Bereans were doing. Is this fellow teaching us the truth? He comes marching in here acting like he has the truth. Does he have the truth? What did they find out? What did they find out? When they went home and searched the scriptures, they found out that Paul had the truth. In Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We need to have a good foundation, don't we? We need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We have a congregation. I know you can't see it. I hope you can, because if you do, you've got really great eyes. This was in the newspaper a few years ago in a liberal congregation. Now, they weren't always as bad as they are now. They didn't always have their fellowship halls. They didn't always have this going on. They got a Got Jesus thing going for them one year. And they had the Belmont Correctional Institute. The prisoners, they said, will share with us their testimonies. They had a drama group. We went and talked to the preacher and the five or six elders. The elders just sat there and kept quiet as a mouse. The preacher did all the talking, all their answering. And I asked him about the play that they put on. He said, well, you probably wouldn't like it. It wasn't much good. And I said, well, what about all this entertainment? He said, that was before the worship service. That was before our worship. They had another group called Lost and Found. Their harmonies are tight and their praises to the heavens. These men are on fire for God, and God has really been blessing them in their ministry. The Lost and Found started in 92 and has been singing the gospel all over the country. I'm getting paid to do so in these worship services. Another group called The Express, their unique blend and style of music has allowed them to share the message of God to a wide variety of audiences. Their focus is on serving Christ and enriching the lives of others through song. Entertainment, folks. They had a service in the building there at Woodmont, about an hour from our house. Nothing but pure entertainment. You want to go there, you let your guard down. You don't have warnings against false teaching, that's exactly where we will go. Jeremiah was told to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down. And then the Lord said, then you can build and plant. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. It's hard work, but it must be done. It must be done. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, Paul told Timothy, with all long suffering in doctrine, for the time will come, and you know what time that is. We must hold fast the faithful word. Titus 1 and verse 9. Every one of us, we all must know the truth. Not just the elders, not just the preacher, not just the deacons, but every one of us. Just like a farmer when he begins to break new ground. Wouldn't it be great if you could just go out and throw the seed down and you get your crop? We have a little 2x4 garden in our backyard. That's about the only room we have for it. But every year, we have to undo the weeds and all of the things that would stop our garden from growing. And we have to fertilize. We have to till. We have to do all of that work even before we plant. And that's what the Lord said that Jeremiah was going to have to do. And rooting out and pulling down and destroying before the building begins. Then comes the planting and the watering, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Watch it grow. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a watermelon. We had watermelon for supper one night, and that watermelon was so good. You know how they are. God doesn't make junk, does he? So I went out in our backyard and I planted that watermelon, and the next day I went out there and checked on it. It hadn't come up yet. I dug it up. What's wrong with you? I remember, I thought I was going to have something coming up. I learned that it doesn't happen overnight. And neither does the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. Many times, most of the time, it will not happen overnight. You're going to have to plant the seed and water and water and water. Give it the proper nourishment. God takes care of that in the seed line. And so does he in the Word of God. Isn't that what he says in the book of Luke in chapter 8? That the seed is the Word of God. When he's explaining the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God. Verse 11, Luke 8. And then he said, those by the wayside are those that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's what happens a lot of times. And let me tell you, when you talk to somebody that is wayside soil, and you see that the word is not getting into their hearts, an elder of a congregation a few years ago where I was working said he'd been going to a denominational preacher's breakfast for 17 years. I said, you converted anybody out of there yet? He said, no, so. Matter of fact, they were coming closer to converting him by some of his language. And I don't mean foul language, but I mean the denominational language. Evil companions, you think they won't corrupt you? I don't care who they are. When you come to wayside soil, and there's some of my neighbors that say, Mr. Hafley, don't ask us to come to services anymore. We're not coming. You know what I don't do? I don't go over there and say, y'all like to come to services? No. You got to move on. You got to move on. Go elsewhere. Someday, some way, somehow, the Lord may soften their hearts and they may learn the truth. But I'm not going to waste my time on somebody who's telling me not to waste my time on them. Move on. When you see they are of the wayside soil type and that the devil has taken the word out of their heart. But there's too many preachers today exposing the ones fighting against the false teachers. You know that? False teachers are being exposed and there's people not going to like it. Not going to like it. False teachers of the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 6, they cried, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And there's a lot of congregations that think they're doing the Lord's work when they don't have a clue. And their members can't be opening their Bibles. They can't be reading and studying their Bibles because of the preaching that they're hearing. And they love to have it so. Men are compromising the truth. Remember Roy Cogdell telling me that lightning kills, not thunder. Lightning kills. And these kinds of false teaching preachers help us to lose the ground that was gained by the powerful preachers of the past. My, the more I read about these fellows in the 1800s and what they sacrificed, I told Judy the other night, I just feel ashamed. I feel ashamed. What they went through, what they endured, and they weren't just going home. I think sometimes a week is too long to be gone from home. I miss her a ton, and I think that's good, don't you? Those fellas fought and they gained ground. They fought against denominationalism. They fought against error in the church. And I'm going to stand up here and lose the ground they gained? I better not do that. I need to fight the good fight. Put on the whole armor. Peter said, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, be cause. I call that the 3B passage. You be sober, you be vigilant, be cause. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that could be you. Did you ever have a dream that somebody's chasing you and they're about to get you? I watch the Discovery Channel. I watch these little antelope trying to get away from the lion. And Judy says, what are you doing? I'm coming off the couch. I'm rooting for the little antelope to get away. We sing the song in our VBS. 1, 2, 3, what? Yes, he's after Mo. It doesn't rhyme, but he's after me, isn't he? In any way he can get me. Discourage me. Pull me away. Take my eye off of the goal one way or t'other. It doesn't matter how he gets me. He doesn't care. And he's not going to feel sorry for me. The Lord's the one that had the compassion. The devil, none. You want to be on his side? Think again. No, you do not. You want the kind of preaching that I believe that you all are getting here. That will help you to remain sound. And that you're not hearing the jokes and the tales and the yarns. Not to say that examples cannot be used, because Jesus did. Jesus used them. As we plant and water, we need people that will receive with meekness the engrafted word, James 1 and verse 21, which is able to save your soul. That's what we need to teach. But again, we can't teach what we do not know. We must know it, learn it. Put it in our heart. What we say, David said, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I put where? In my heart. What? That I might not sin against you. And also that we can teach it. We can be better teachers. You want something to pray for? Lord, help me to become a better preacher, a better teacher. To expose your word, not me to them, but this to them. Your word. You cannot read Paul's word and see Paul, can you? You see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his preaching. We cannot stay uninformed. We cannot remain ignorant of the Word of God. Our Bible classes are way too few and way too short. At home, we'll start out, we'll have a Bible class and have a 50 or 60 people sign up. Second week, we'll have the whole 60 people there the first week. Second week, 40. 30, 20. What happened? One class a night. One week, one each week. Losing of interest. we lived in such a great area. We have about a dozen churches within a half an hour of our house, faithful congregations, with their elders and their deacons. But our gospel meetings are pitifully attended. They're just not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, folks. I do not see young people going to gospel meetings in our area. The average visitor at home in Peyton City to our gospel meetings is 60 and up. And up. And probably the average age would be 70. That's a shame, isn't it? Young people are not being taught, not hungering, not going, not thirsting after righteousness. Talked to one preacher, asked him what he and the elders did where he preaches when they hear about problems. You know what he said? He said, "We just wait for them to come to us." Elders, let me ask you. Do problems come in the door and they say, I'm going to be a problem to you and I want you to know I'm here, and so I want you to be alert to me? Do they tell you that? You ever have that happen? Or do they, like the serpent, slink and sneak in, like that lion on Discovery Channel? You see that? Sneaking up on that little thing. Is he going to say, "Yoo-hoo, I'm coming"? Mm-mm. No warning. No warning. And by the time that congregation hears about the trouble, that congregation's going to be in trouble. That young fellow had been preaching for 30-some years. Young fellow, younger than I. Wow. You wait, you do what? You wait till it comes in the door and then you... Yeah, if they all wave red flags... Here I come. You heard about me. Here I am. It doesn't do that. Greencastle, Indiana, we had the Crossroads family come into our midst. Out of nowhere, out of the blue. We were ready. We saw the signs. And we put a stop to it. Well, they were trying to get a foothold. Trying to open the doors. Get young people thinking like they thought. That had to stop. We need watchmen today, just like Ezekiel mentioned in Ezekiel 3, 17, in the next few verses. Eyes wide open all the time. How would you like a sentry that was like this? Huh? Would you like a sleeper? You're trying to rest and he's supposed to be on guard? What's that sentry insurance? That fellow holding that rifle, is he on guard? Better be. He can lose not only his life, but the life of men around him. And this is what happens in the church when we go to sleep. When for the time you ought to be teachers? Shame on us. Soft preaching is not necessarily error. I've heard a lot of truth preached, but a congregation that's all it gets is going to be in trouble. Oh, he preaches the truth. Yeah, that may be so. But when he does not do any warning, what did Paul say again to the Ephesian elders? How many years, day and night, what did he do? Warn them with what? Tears. Did they say, "Oh, you did not"? Oh, yes, he did. They did not deny it. It was the truth. Remember, we will all give an account. We will all give an account. Because there is a stampede for worldliness today and to keep softness in the church and the gospel out. We cannot allow it to happen. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be the salt of the earth, and that is every one of us. You. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That word good just is amazing to me. It means beautiful. That they may see your beautiful works. And I illustrate that by, we got a Walmart. Somebody asked me if we had a Walmart tonight. Jay did, I think. And about 5 miles north of us, we finally got one, put us on the map. And that word good, every time I go into the Walmart, Right through the door, they've got these beautiful apples. They've polished them up. They put lights on. And sometimes they've got a guy watering them, spraying. So I'll see that. And I wouldn't even think about being hungry or eating an apple. But, whoa. Man. And you know what they don't do? They don't put a bruised one or one with a wormhole in it and say, well, we've got to get rid of that, so let's put it out front. No. They put the brightest, shiniest, prettiest ones out there. That's that word good. That they may by your beautiful works, which they shall behold, glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's you. You are that bright, shiny apple, which they shall behold. We need sound teaching and preaching that makes us live a beautiful, beautiful life. And that will help. We will not back down. And we need to let them know we are not afraid. Let your Baptist friend, your Jehovah's Witness friend, your Mormon friends, and when they come to the door, what do we say? Use your weapons. Which ones? Your axe and your 238s. And do so gently, folks. Oh, I sure blew him out of the water. Was that the attitude you left them with? Or were you trying to convert their soul? Answer their argument in such a way that it didn't help? Or like the Lord would? How did he do it? Yes, when people needed a spanking, did he give it to them? Matthew 23, woe unto you. When I was a little boy, I thought there were three groups in those passages. Those scribes, those Pharisees, and that third group, the hypocrites. But as the fella said, somebody learned me better. The scribes and the Pharisees were the hypocrites. They were play acting, weren't they? We can't be them. We can be. We could become just like them, but we must not. The Lord scalded them then. And he may scald us on the day of judgment. And will he tell us the truth? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. It will be worth the good fight, the fight of faith, for the word of the truth, the gospel of our salvation, Ephesians 1, verse 13. It's worth it all, folks. If nobody agrees with you but God, you are the winner. You're the winner. Let's demand wherever we are from and wherever we live that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching, and do not settle for the ear-tickling, preach us a sermon preacher. You don't want that. You don't want it for you, for your children or grandchildren. Let's be the kind of people that God would have us to be, an army of God wearing the whole armor, and let it start from here and go. Because just like our nation, as we'll talk about tomorrow night, the Lord willing, sin trickles down through us all. If it's weak at the top, it'll filter through us all. Let's have the sound preaching from every congregation that God demands. And the kind of preaching that will extend the invitation where some preachers are not doing that anymore. I'll close with this word. I've been to gospel meetings and I've heard preachers say, I'm done. Just get out and never extend the invitation because that's too traditional. Too traditional. Some traditions we ought to keep, don't you think? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Was that true when Jesus said it? Is it true now? Yes. Shall we teach people that today? What the apostles taught then? Let's do it. If you've not done that, I want to tell you, you are lost. I don't want to tell you that, but I have to tell you that because that's what the Lord said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe the gospel of Christ? That he is our Messiah? That he is our Savior? That one day he will be our judge? There will be no more opportunities after that? Whatever excuses you are using now, get over it. Break the chains. Lose your pride. Drop your ego and do the will of God tonight. Right now, while we stand, while we sing.